You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast. We're looking ahead to a couple of races from Doncaster on November Handicap Day as the flat season finally comes to a conclusion. We've also got good racing over the obstacles of both Aintree and Wincanton. Promises to be a cracking day of action as ever here on William Hill's Racing Radio. Sam Norris joined by Kevin O'Malley on this edition of the podcast. Kevin, the man tasked with supplying the winners on today's edition. How are you, Kev?
I'm not too bad at all. I haven't picked the easiest of Saturdays.
No.
To try and give a couple of winners, especially since I've gone to Doncaster, but we will do our best as always.
Indeed, we can but try. A decent, if not spectacular, Saturday of racing.
Yeah, November Handicap Day is just that type of day. It's certainly on the flat. I mean, there's some excellent action at Aintree. Kelso, Wincanton is on as well. Mm. Where I believe Colin Tizard is sending some of his ammunition for a racecourse gallop, Thistle Crack, Fox Norton, and Q Card. Is it Q Card? Might be Q Card. But they're going to be parading, so anybody going to Wincanton will get to see some nice horse flesh before racing, so that'll be good for them. So yeah, there is plenty of good action on, but it's not top class.
Indeed. And of course, we've got that very competitive November Handicap to come at Doncaster. Kev, you were in the studio yesterday. Good day. Any nice prospects?
Oh, there was loads yesterday. Yesterday was a really, really good day, actually. Cap Soleil, probably the... Cap Soleil and Mia Storm, I think, are two tremendous mares. It was nice to see him on an otherwise average Thursday performing. I think Cap Soleil is a really exciting prospect for Fergal O'Brien, who does have some nice horses in his yard at the moment. So, yeah, it's that time of year where we're seeing all the new prospects coming through, and it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch briefly on the Melbourne Cup as well, Kev, a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing from various people over the last few days about the European Challenge, almost spoiling the Melbourne Cup, so say some people. I was having this conversation on the podcast with someone last week. I suppose they want the top European horses to come over, but some people anyway don't seem all that happy about them winning.
Yeah, it just kind of screams of they're wanting the race to raise the profile of the race.
Yes.
And in doing that, they're probably protecting the pride of the quality of their horses. And while they're going in search of all these top prospects from Hong Kong and all across the world to try and get them over to the Melbourne Cup, they're kind of... not overlooking the fact that these horses might actually come and take everything you have.
Yes.
You know, Greg Baum, who's a well-known journalist over there, he said it's now known as the race that bypasses
yes.
a nation.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just a great phrase and a great way to put it. But look, when you've got all of these top Coolmore bred prospects coming over, they might only be Group 2 horses over here, not quite up to Grade 1 standard, the likes of Rekindling and Johannes Vermeer. You know, if they're going down there and there's any chinks in the armour of the home defence, you know, we've got solid Group 2, Group 3 horses going over there for what is essentially a handicap.
Yes.
You know, so it's unsurprising that we're starting to have an impact over there.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think only 6 of the last 25 winners of the Melbourne Cup have been European. So it's hardly a year-on-year domination.
And I think 7 of the first 11 home
this year
were European
yes.
trained.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a funny one, but what can you do? I mean,
yeah,
it's a fantastic race. It's a great spectacle, but I wouldn't get up at 4 in the morning for it.
I was just about to ask you that, actually. Did you watch
not
it?
A hope. Not yeah. a hope. If the Derby was on at 4 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't get up.
especially when you can access a replay on Twitter almost instantaneously.
As soon as I wake up. Yeah. Blair, I'd also won the Melbourne Cup. Open up Twitter and there's a replay yes. of the final 200 yards. That's all I need to see.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
You can't be a specialist in everything, and Australian racing is Australia's a long way away from
it
me.
It is, yes, indeed. I want to quickly touch on Q Card as well. We discussed this yesterday on the podcast. What did you make of the opportunity being given to Harry Cobden, and was Paddy Brennan unlucky to lose the ride?
You could say unlucky. You could use any number of terms, really. You could say that he's been shafted by connections. You could say all of these different things. But look, the owners pay the bills. You know, we can repeat that until the cows come home. They have the right to do what they want with their own horse. You know, if you have a very strong opinion against what happened, maybe you should buy a horse with Colin Tizard. Then you can do what you want with it. Do you know what I mean?
Put Paddy Brennan on it. Yeah.
Put if you want Paddy on your horse, then you can do that. You know, you pay the bills, and you know you're talking about thousands and thousands every year just for each horse it costs just to keep them in a barn and feed them, let alone train them and get them to a course and transported and everything else. So, you know, I'm sure Paddy Brennan is philosophical about it. He's had some great days on Q Card. Harry Cobden is a fantastic opportunity for him. At the end of the day, Colin Tizard's profile as a trainer has risen tremendously in a very short space of time. And he hasn't really had to, you know, since his son gave up the saddle, he hasn't really had to define a stable jockey. What I mean? So maybe Harry Cobden, Colin's just been slowly putting out the feelers to see who might be the person that can ride all of his best horses going forward. And, you know, I can see why he's gone to Harry Cobden, because he's a real good talent. He's got a level head. And the future is bright for him, and I hope him and Q Card get on well. But you know, Q Card's getting on a bit now as well.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. I mean, if you can get the gig now as Colin Tizard's stable jockey, that's a real prime job all of a sudden, and that's only really developed over the last few years.
It's worth noting as well that the Betfair Chase distance, which Q Card we hope is going for, has now been increased by a furlong and a half.
Okay.
Quite a bit of I just seen that in the Racing Post this morning, so it's going to be more of an emphasis on stamina for sure for these horses when that race comes around in a couple of weeks' time. But yes,
Very interesting. Anything else on your mind, Kev, before we move on to tackle Saturday's action?
No, not particularly. I mean, we've obviously got Saturday's action on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing Apple's Jade. She runs, so I'm looking forward to seeing her back and some other good prospects.
Might bite rear. I was going to say rear pose. It's reappears.
Reappears. Yeah. I mean, it's a shame that he doesn't go to Haydock for that top grade one and have a pop at the £1 million bonus. But you know, he's a highly strung horse, and I'm sure they just want to get kind of a pipe opener into him without stressing him out too much in a top grade one win. The King George is obviously his main target for the first part of the season.
Indeed. Let's move on then to some of the flat action on Saturday. We do have Cracking Jumps racing, of course, Wincanton, Aintree and Kelso, but we're going to tackle a couple of races at Doncaster, beginning with the 205. This is the listed Wentworth Stakes over six furlongs, a field of 14 gathered for this contest. Always a little bit tricky, these kind of races, Kev, at the end of what has been a long old season for a lot of these listed contests. So we're getting a decent level of performance, but I always just think they're a bit tough at this stage of the season.
They are. I mean, what I've just been looking for, trying to keep it simple, is horses that have been holding their form quite well, that are going to handle this ground and are going to see out the trip really well, because Doncaster is obviously quite a galloping home straight up there. You know, there's no hiding places at Doncaster. So, I mean, there's obviously several very interesting contenders. Sir Prancelot is likely to be the favourite here, I think. He's got strong form over seven furlongs. He's handled soft ground. Others are better on the clock, though, and he's likely to be short enough, I think. Sir Michael Stout runs Dream of Dreams. He's a very nice-looking horse. The penny will drop for him at some point because he's a nice, scopy individual. But again, he hasn't impressed on the clock. The step back to the six furlong is likely to help. That could bring about the required improvement. If it does, then, you know, he's a big player, and his sire Dream Ahead did like it soft as well. Dan Zeno and Gordon Lord Byron, you know, two experienced sprinters with obvious each way claims under these conditions, they could easily go well. But the one I like each way, Sam, is a Flying Pursuit for Tim Easterby and Rachel Richardson. A consistent horse comes into the race on the back of a career best effort when second to a perfect pasture over the course and distance last time out, and this might just be the right time to step up into listed company from handicap company. Handles soft ground very well. And I think he should run his race at a fair price, Flying Pursuit.
Flying Pursuit, yeah, around about the 10-1 mark for that 205 race at Doncaster. On to the big one from Townmore on Saturday. It's the November handicap, ran over just shy of a mile and a half, a field of 23 maximum field lining up here. Always viciously difficult. We've been looking around about 6-7-1. The field, how do you sort out this one?
Yeah, full field of 23 runners for the mile and four cavalry charge, which traditionally brings down the curtain on the flat season. So it would be a little bit rude of us not to throw a selection at the race for the podcast. It's easy to go a bit cross-eyed from the sheer volume of horses here with chances, but I do like the look of Ian Williams-trained Saunter, who's had one run for the yard, having left David Minissier at Newmarket at the back end of September. He ran a really solid race there on good to soft ground. very consistent on the speed figures, which I was looking for in this race, you know, because there's so many inconsistent types here. But he's very good on the clock, consistently well. At this stage of the season, I think that might just count for a lot. There could be room for manoeuvre from his mark of 95 as well. Jim Crowley's ridden 13 winners from 50 runners in the last fortnight, so he remains in excellent form in the saddle. And I'm hopeful that the pair can conjure up a credible effort.
A saunter then, around about 9-1 for the November handicap, gets the nod for Kevin. Thank you for that, Kev. Just remind us quickly your two selections at Donny on Saturday.
In the 2.05 Wentworth Stakes, I'm hoping that Flying Pursuit can prove a little bit of each-way value. And the same can be said of Saunter in the November handicap at 3.15.
Excellent stuff. There we have thoughts of Kevin O'Malley ahead of Saturday's racing. You can join us on William Hill's Racing Radio for all of the action. Myself, Sam Norris, joined by James Millman and Ollie Pimlott for all of the racing on Saturday. Thank you for that, Kev, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.